And then there are also some disparities, that is, some differences in the kingdom. The difference is pretty obvious. One of them is spelled H-E-A-V-E-N, the other one is spelled G-O-D, and there is a little bit of difference in the two words. We get the idea, because that word right there, we say 99% of the time in reference to the place where God lives, then we say, well, you gotta know Jesus Christ, and that way you can go to heaven when you die. That's the way this is generally treated. And that, it's all well and good, to get started like that. But let me show you something that I didn't show you last week as we go through this study to help you out. Now, in dealing with these two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, we wanted to see when we started studying last week whether these were the same. We just didn't pretend to know anything about our Bibles. We opened up the Bible and we began to compare. Remember how we did that? And we went scripture with scripture and we looked in the various deals. And the first thing we noticed right away is the book of Matthew is the only book in the Bible that has anything to say about the kingdom of heaven. And that was pretty strange, because the kingdom of God is mentioned in all four Gospels. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians. It's mentioned in Romans. It's mentioned in Galatians and Colossians and other places in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians. So these kingdoms, it's kind of strange that the kingdom of heaven only has one place that is mentioned, and that is the book of Matthew. That's kind of an interesting thing. But we notice that when these kingdoms were introduced to us in the Gospels, they were both at hand. We saw that those were similar. We saw that Jesus Christ preached both of these kingdoms. He preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached the kingdom of God is at hand. The disciples were commissioned in Matthew chapter 10 to preach the kingdom of heaven. And in Luke chapter 10, they were commissioned to preach the kingdom of God. So they were both preached by the disciples. And we found out, looking in the parables, that both of these come in a mystery form. There are parables of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 13, and then scattered around there are some mysteries of the kingdom of God. And three of those parables are the same as the parables concerning the kingdom of heaven. We notice that both of these kingdoms are entered into how? By what? Well, actually, by childlike faith. Now, to help you, I told you I'm going to print the deal up and give you a thing. Well, I've got the guts of it going pretty good, but I'll have this for you next week. They're both entered by a childlike faith. He says, suffer unto me the little children, for such is the kingdom of God. Suffer unto me the little children, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So there's a similarity there. We noticed also that so three Old Testament characters were mentioned in connection with the kingdom of heaven. You remember who they were? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sit down in the kingdom of heaven, and then people will come from the east and west and sit down with them. We noticed the same thing was true of the kingdom of God, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will also be sitting down in that kingdom, and people will come from the east and the west to join them. We also noticed that it's pretty tough for a rich man to enter either one of these. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Lots of similarity. They are so similar, if you were just to stop with that, you would have to believe that they are the same. They're talking about the same thing. It's just a kingdom that goes by two different names. One being the kingdom of God, because that's whose kingdom it is, and one being the kingdom of heaven, because that's where you go when you get saved. That's what it sounds like. But then we did a little bit more study, and we found out that there are some disparities. Disparities. What's a disparity? A difference. Similarity, same thing. Disparity, something that's not the same. So we began to look at some disparities. Now, before we examine those, because I'm going to take you through a couple of them, and then I'm going to introduce you to some new ones, why would there be so much, what is one major reason that there would be so much similarity between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? Well, similarity, not disparity. Why would there be so much similarity between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God?
Same author.
Same king. Same king. If the king is the same, then the kingdoms are going to have a lot of similarities because of the fact that there is the same king. We noticed last week in studying the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 5 that a man to get into this kingdom had to do something. Do you remember what he had to do? He had to obey the law. He had to do the commandments. So I'm going to just put that back up here since we're dealing now with the disparities. This one here had to keep the commandments. All right? Over here, what did he have to do to get into the kingdom of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. except you be born again. Except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, and you must be born again. So this one you enter by the new birth. All right, now, who borns you again? In John chapter 3, where you read this. Whatsoever is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So this thing has a mention here of the Holy Spirit. Just keep that in mind. We noticed something else that was different. We noticed that in this particular kingdom, it says the kingdom of heaven was until John, and from John it suffereth violence. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So this kingdom can be taken, and it's taken by violent force, and it was until John the Baptist. We saw that difference. I'm going to just put here JB. What did we learn about the kingdom of God? Do you remember? Look in Luke 16:16. Give you a little refresher on that. What did we learn? Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Matthew said that the kingdom of heaven, that it was preached up until John, and then the violent taketh by force. This said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So the preaching of the kingdom of God didn't even start until John the Baptist. This was preached, I would need to put it this way. It was going on up to John the Baptist, and then the violent were taking it by force. This one didn't get started preaching until John the Baptist came, and so we'll do this after John the Baptist. That's when you started hearing about the kingdom of God, according to Luke 16:16. A little bit of difference. Something's not quite the same here. Notice something else that's really strange about the kingdom of heaven. Look in Matthew chapter 16, and look at verse 19. Now Peter makes a confession. And says about Jesus Christ in verse 16, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then the Lord says he's going to build his church upon a rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then verse 19, "I will give unto thee," what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This kingdom has keys. Notice something else. He said, whatever you bind in earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in earth should be loosed in heaven. Notice something else. The Pharisees, look in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. Look what the Pharisees did concerning entrance into this kingdom. Look at it. Matthew 23:13. Jesus is getting these Pharisees. What he says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for what do you do?" What? "You shut up the kingdom of heaven," verse 13. "Against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." That's a strange thing. Who, do you know anybody that has the keys of the kingdom of God? Do you know anybody that's able to shut a man out of the kingdom of God? Now, you may be sitting here going, "Well, I'm not sure if I know how to make of this." Don't worry about how far to take it. This is still introductory. As we go through all these verses in Matthew and study down the road, you'll see more and more about this. Just notice, there's something said about keys and somebody shutting up something in the kingdom of heaven. And he's talking about, what does he say? He said, whatsoever shall be bound in where? Earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever shall be loosed in earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, last week when we concluded this lesson, what did we start saying? This kingdom started looking like something that was very earthly, and this kingdom looked like something that was very spiritual. And indeed, as you go through this, you're going to see that thing becoming more and more obvious as we look at some of the disparities today. This thing has to do with stuff that's going on down here. A Pharisee could shut a man out of a kingdom of heaven down here by his laws and practice. He couldn't keep any man out of the kingdom of God. If a man trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, it doesn't make any difference what sort of religion is imposed on him by men. Where's he going when he dies? He's going to heaven. So there's an interesting thing here. If you say, now, wait a minute. If you're showing me that this all has something to do with earth, and this has to do with a visible kingdom down here, and this one seems to be more spiritual, why is it called the kingdom of heaven? Why isn't it called the kingdom of earth? Interesting question. For that, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 real quick. Get a little lesson on this, and then we'll come back and look at something. Genesis chapter 1. All right, now notice verse 1. In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. All right? Now, there's water all over the earth, and God wanted to divide that water that was on the earth so some would stay on the earth and some of it would be way out in outer space. In verse 7, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so. And God called the firmament what? Whoa, wait a minute now. That's one that's up there where he is, and now there's one that separates water from the earth and water that's above the firmament. Another heaven. One more time, look in verse 20. The fourth day was just completed with the sun, moon, and stars in verse 19. Verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Another one. Because how many of you have ever seen a bird fly in outer space where the sun, moon, and stars are? They can't go that high. Why? There's no oxygen. They can only go so high. And then they got to be back down here again. So he mentioned this thing in the beginning, then a firmament called heaven that divides waters from waters that's filled by the solar system, and another heaven that's right above the earth in your atmosphere, basically. You say, are you trying to tell me that there are three heavens? I'm not trying to tell you anything, but I'll show you what the Bible says. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now notice Paul here. Verse 1, it is not expedient for me, for doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Watch it. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. He's actually talking about himself in the third person. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. He didn't know if he had an out-of-body experience. Such an one caught up to the what?
Third
heaven. So when God mentions here a kingdom called the kingdom of heaven, but it has to do with violent people taking it by force and people keeping commandments, and it's being preached up to John the Baptist, and then the violent taking by force, it's got keys and Pharisees can shut people out, and some other things we're going to look at here. He can call it the kingdom of heaven, even though he's talking about a kingdom that takes place here on the earth, because when you look at the, just use your imagination, when you talk about the earth, there's a heaven that surrounds that thing over the which men have charge. We fly in jets and planes and all kind of stuff in this area here all the time. And when God gave Adam dominion, he gave him dominion not only over animals that creep around and walk around on the earth, he also gave him a dominion over the fowls of the air. So it's a kingdom already that was established in Adam, and he's just talking about that same one that Abraham ruled in. That's why he's going to sit in it. And Isaac ruled in it for a period of time, and Jacob ruled in it for a period of time, and David was in it for a period of time. It's heavily Jewish and it's heavily earthly. There's another heaven out here, and then a third heaven that has a crystal sea over, you know, over frozen water, and the throne of God's up there, and that's a third heaven. That's where Paul went. But this one down here is the one that concerns that kingdom right there. Even though it's called the kingdom of heaven, it's not talking about where we're going when we die by receiving Jesus Christ. It's talking about some stuff going on down here. That's why this study is so important, because in just a few chapters, we're going to get over here and we're going to get blessed are the peacemakers and blessed are the poor in spirit and all this stuff that takes place down here. And then he keeps saying, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and it has to do with us getting some kind of inheritance down here that was promised to Adam that was lost by sin. See how that goes? Now notice how spiritual this kingdom is. Go over to Luke chapter 17 again. Excuse me, we were there before, but look at it again. Notice how spiritual this kingdom is. Luke chapter 17. All right, Luke chapter 17, verse 20. If I'd get out of John and get into Luke, I could read the thing for you. When he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Can't see it. Where is it? Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. It's a spiritual kingdom that you enter by the new birth. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that kingdom is within you. Why? Because where is the king of that kingdom when you receive Jesus Christ? He's in you. And when you got the king of the kingdom, you get to see the kingdom and you get to enter the kingdom. So it doesn't come. You can't, it doesn't, I don't want to say can't see. I'll just put it that way. It doesn't come with observation. It's within you. I guess I should have just put it within you. Yeah, that would. Just pretend for a minute. But he did say it didn't come with observation. That's an interesting point I was going to talk to you about last week. It's within you. Hieroglyphics. Notice something else about how spiritual it is in the book of Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 17. Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Those are physical things, and those are also things that are found in the law. Let no man judge you concerning meat or drink, Colossians says. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Meat and drink has to do with the commandments, has to do with the Jewish law. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in whom? The Holy Ghost. Remember how we said it had something to do with the Spirit of God? It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Although there are numerous similarities, there are also numerous disparities. Now, let's see if we can reconcile all this. We're going to try to stay together on this and wrap this thing that it'll fit in a nice, neat package. I got to come to some, if there are that many differences, and one's physical and earthly, and I can make the similarities out of the same king, I'm still wondering why there were so many other similarities. It was at hand, it was preached by both, and the disciples, and Jesus Christ, and all those other things, and I know how I can reconcile it by looking at a few more verses in the Bible. Now, this one up here in John chapter 3, go over there for a second and look at John chapter 3, verse 3, and notice what he says. Notice what he says. John chapter 3, and look at verse 3. Like Bill O'Reilly says, what say ye, Jesus? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. But I thought he said in Luke, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but is within you. And now he's talking about a man seeing the kingdom of God in John chapter 3. All right, just leave the, okay, just leave the big, you know, I see the look on your face. Leave that on there and let's go to the next couple of things here and notice something else. Look in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse 1. He said unto them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have what? Seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now what does he show you? After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John and leadeth them up into a mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man any more save Jesus only with themselves. Now, notice. Verse 11. They asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first and restoreth all things, how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias indeed is come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. Thoroughly confused? Yep. One more time, just over here in Luke. Let me show you one other thing, and then I'll try to unravel the confusion for you. Luke chapter 9, look at verse 27. Luke chapter 9, verse 27, but I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And then he does the same thing again and appears transfigured before them. Okay, and then I need to show you one more place. Go to Matthew chapter 17. The only reason I'm doing this is so you get a good workout in your Bible. Matthew chapter 17, and look at verse 12. This is also after the transfiguration, Matthew 17, 12. And watch, he'll say the same thing about Elijah. Matthew 17, 12. Hang on. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Remember how he said that just back there in Mark? Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Watch it, verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. He spake unto them of John the Baptist. You're sitting here going, preacher, could you help us out here just a little bit? This is pretty tough. He said, there be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man, or Son of God, coming in the kingdom of God. Right? And then he transfigured himself before them. When are you going to see Jesus Christ coming, all shining in glory? Huh? At the what? At the second coming. You're welcome. Anytime. I know you were trying. You were so close. At the tribulation, at the transfiguration, at the second coming. Amen. You're going to see him like that at his second coming, right? And the key to knowing that he's talking about the second coming is the disciples said, why did they say that Elias must first come? Where do you hear about Elijah having to show up to restore all things? You read about it in the very last book of the Old Testament, in the last three verses of the book. He says something about Moses, and he says something about Elijah, and those men have got to come. And when you read over in the book of Revelation chapter 11, there are two witnesses show up, and guess who they are? They're Moses and Elijah. And guess who showed up with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. Well, when they saw Elijah standing with Jesus Christ and he was transfigured, they said, well, now, wait a second. Why did they say that Elijah must first come and restore all things? He said he had to come. Because why? It was prophesied back there in Malachi chapter 4 that he would come. That he would come. But then he says this interesting thing in Matthew, and he says, they did to him whatever, he's already come, and they did to him whatever they wanted, and they understood that he was talking about John the Baptist. Now, just see if you, some of you remember this, and then we'll tie it all together. How do Moses and Elijah get killed in the book of Revelation? They get their heads cut off. How did John the Baptist get killed? Isn't that an amazing parallel? Here's the deal. You can't see the kingdom of God right now. Why? Because it's within you. Because it doesn't come with observation during the period of time that you and I are living in. But one of these days, the King of the kingdom of God is going to show up. And when he shows up, guess what? You're going to be able to see it. And had the Jews accepted Jesus Christ as their Messiah when he came, they would have seen it. But they wouldn't get born again. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they stoned Stephen and said, we'll have nothing to do with this deal. And God said, I'll go another way. I'll go to you, Gentiles. Isn't that an amazing thing? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the difficulty is, you keep seeing this, and we keep thinking it has to do with something about going to heaven, and then as we see the progression of Christianity through the church, guess what now? You've got a whole lot of people that want to make this invisible kingdom visible with great big churches they call campuses now, and great big productions they have All these folks, all the attention is about right down here and about right now and us bringing in the kingdom. It won't come till the king of that kingdom comes. And you'll see it, but you won't see it in the body you're in. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You won't see it in the body you're in. Nobody can see it in the body they're in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. You got to have a new body like Jesus Christ was transfigured. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 50. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You got to get born again by the Spirit of God and then either die or be raptured and have a bodily change where you don't have any flesh left in that body. any blood left in that body. And then you'll have a body like Jesus that had flesh and bones but no blood. And then you'll be able to see that kingdom. And those are the differences. And if you confuse those two while studying the book of Matthew, you will break your neck and bust your knee and stub your toe and break your heart. Now, that's introductory material. And some of it, you may be swimming in your brain right now. I hope not, because I'm trying to simplify it. But I'm trying to give you enough to show you that the disparities, this stuff is down here, that stuff is out there, and in here when you receive Christ, and you see it and enter it, see? You enter it when you're carried up there, and you see it in the body of Christ, and then you'll see it down here on the earth when the Lord comes back, because the king of that kingdom will be here. Okay? Father, we sure thank you today for an opportunity to study your word. We ask you, please, during this break time, to give us a good time of fellowship and refreshing. Bless our hearts. Help us to prepare ourselves to receive the preaching of the word of God. We pray you'll fill our preacher today with your Holy Spirit, that he may speak to us directly from the throne of grace, for Jesus' sake. Amen.